Greetings and welcome to the AVOD. I'm Count Vargelon.
I'm TM.
And tonight, movies! One of which is, okay, we have one movie. I was gonna try to compare them, but I think the best way to describe it of them is that one of them is not actually a movie.
Well, and it is only in the most...
It does contain moving images.
Girl sense, yeah.
I cannot deny that one of the two films we watch contains moving images, but that is all I can say about it.
That's what all it's got, yeah.
Well, okay, it has audio. It is a talkie. but that's it. You know what? We'll get there. For now, I believe we have some random crap to address.
Well, first off, on a sad note, of course, everybody knows by now that Luke Perry died.
Yeah.
Beloved co-star of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the movie.
And one of the great Simpsons guest stars of all time.
Oh, yes. His face, his beautiful face.
New look for Luke. His good for nothing. Just the idea that, like, that they did all of this drama about Krusty's dad and, you know, Krusty's relationship with his dad. And then they out of nowhere announced that, oh yeah, at some point his mother left his dad and, you know, became also the mother of Luke Perry. Like, married whoever Luke Perry's father is. Cause it's Krusty's worthless half-brother Luke Perry.
So apparently, he was like the nicest guy, so.
I spent the next 2 days after he died just reading Twitter and Instagram stories about how everyone loved Luke Perry. And how there was just nothing but great stories about what a wonderful person he is. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing him at a panel at the Comic-Con and just being like, he seems like the most down-to-earth guy in the world. Because he had that story about, like, the only thing he ever did with his money was that, you know, it was the third season of 90210, and it looked like he wasn't getting fired anytime soon, and his, you know, Mazda didn't work anymore.
So for the first time in his life, he
bought a new car instead of a used car. And he did not like it, and he didn't think it was worth it, and he never bought a new car again. And I'm like, Luke Perry, you were the best. You were recently on the show Riverdale, a show I've tried to watch and have not successfully watched.
Oh, really? Okay.
It's really bad. Like, it is terrible even by teen soap standards.
Oh, because people really like it.
Oh, they love it. They love the drama, but it is plot-wise completely incoherent.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's not a good show, but people love it and they love the drama, and I don't dissuade them from loving the show. More power to you. Everybody loves drama, but it's garbage. So we miss you, Luke Perry. We really do. Mm-hmm. Okay, next up, as is often the case, I have a video game to recommend. Sorry, video game. I almost always have a video game to recommend.
Not
have a TV show to recommend. I want people to check out something really strange. It's the show Unsub. This is going to be hard to find. Exactly, what the hell is that? Well, what happened was, like, TV impresario, Stephen J. Cannell, back in the 80s, was like, hey, this movie Manhunter's pretty good. I should rip it off. And then he made a move, and he made a TV show that was exactly what if Manhunter was a weekly TV show. And it was so bleak and hard to watch that it only lasted 8 episodes. It went away very quickly, but if you can track it down, it is worth watching. I just watched the series and yeah, it is rough. And there's not a lot of blood or gore like a CSI or a Criminal Minds, but it is unrelentingly hard to watch. Like literally the second episode is about an evil children's clown who rapes and murders children.
Oh my God.
I know. And I'm like, do you think they're going to try to, you think they're going to try to make the John Wayne Gacy story more palatable by making it him like attack full grown women and not be a creepy gay serial killer? And they're like, no, this John Wayne Gacy actually murders children. He's even worse than the real John Wayne Gacy.
So where do you find this show?
It is part of a DVD set called the Primetime Crime Pack, which contains three of Cannell's quickly canceled shows and pilots for a bunch of his popular shows.
Oh, Jesus.
I didn't say it was a good name, well-named pack, but that is how you can find this show. And I really do think it's worthwhile for people to check out just because it's such an interesting, this show alone kind of makes the pack worth getting just because it's such an interesting thing to see someone trying to do Manhunter for television and it not going great. So yeah.
Okay.
The show was called Unsub and it has, Richard Kind as a comic relief character on, you know, the TV version of Manhunter.
Okay.
That's a weird idea, but there's a reason for that, which I won't get into because it does count spoilers. Also, just FYI, in case you're sensitive about this thing, Kevin Spacey is in one episode of it.
Oh, okay.
Some people don't want to support Kevin Spacey at all, and I get that some people are like that. I don't feel that way, but I totally understand why people do, and more power to you. Next up.
A list. So today's list is really long, so we're going to do our best, I guess, to kind of power through it. But it's the only one I could find that is, I guess, related to one of the movies you watched.
Okay.
So this is 30 great back to school horror movies.
Oh my God. All right, let's do this. We're going to power through this. Less than a minute on each entry. We can do
this. Oh God. Yeah, right. That's never going to happen. All right. Starting at number 30.
Yes.
Urban Legend.
Oh, I really like Urban Legend. It's in my rotation of movies that I watch while I'm writing. I'm not under the illusion that it is a good movie, but I genuinely enjoy watching it. I think it's really fun.
Okay. I think I liked it. I don't really remember. I'll be honest.
You saw it once when it came out. I've seen it 200 times, so this is not gonna, yeah. Okay, keep going.
Number 29, Prom Night.
Oh, I assume the original.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really fun movie.
I've never seen it.
Oh, wow. That's something we should get around to someday.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Well, no, but both Prom Night, weirdly, Prom Night is a very fun movie, very entertaining movie. Prom Night 2 is a completely unrelated movie that was just given that name for marketing purposes by its Canadian distributor. And then Prom Night 3 is a direct sequel to that second movie, but it is the most bonkers nonsense you'll ever see.
Oh, all right.
It is crazy, the nonsense, the bonkers nonsense in Prom Night 3. But I won't say anything else because we may do that as a special feature at some point.
Okay.
All right, next.
28. Massacre at Central High.
I have not seen this film.
This is from 1976.
Wow.
And it says, as much a drama as a horror suspense movie, this film plays like the darkest after-school special ever with a high school transfer student getting bloody revenge on the bullies who crippled him.
Wow.
But rather than go down the route of your average eye for an eye exploitation fare, it ends up playing like an allegory of the corruption of power and the cycle of violence.
Okay. So he becomes just as bad as the people who bullied him, I guess. And we learn that an eye for an eye leaves the whole world blind. All right. That shouldn't have said that. You're absolutely right.
Okay. That's number terrible. 27 is a movie called Fortress.
Okay.
This is from 1985. It's Australian.
Oh, cool.
Masked men kidnap a young school teacher and her class from a remote one-room schoolhouse.
Okay.
An initially PG-rated vibe takes dark turn when the kids decide to fight back, devolving into Home Alone meets Lord of the Flies by way of First Blood.
Jesus.
Oh, okay.
Wow. I've never heard of that, but now I'm curious.
Number 26, The Craft. Love this movie.
Oh, such a fun movie.
Great
movie. No, The Craft is just great.
Yeah.
Nobody's talking crap about The Craft when we're around.
All right, number 25, After Midnight.
Oh, another one I don't know.
So this is actually an anthology. A psychology professor teaching a class on fear offers his students an opportunity to experience real fear at his home one night. They tell each other three stories and eventually become involved in their own personal nightmare.
Sorry, I'm just... Okay, and is that... Are any of them school-themed, or is the fact that it's like a class project what makes this a school-themed thing?
I think it's because it's like...
A class project thing.
Well, a psychology professor or what have you. Yeah, because some...
I was just...
As we move down the list, a lot of these aren't really.
They get very tenuous.
Yes.
Well, yeah. As long as detention is number one, I'm going to be happy, but we'll get there. okay, maybe not number one, but it better be on the ping list. Sorry, it's just hearing that makes me think about the original origin of the Scarecrow, which is like, a psychologist teaching a class and fear comes up as a thing in the class. And he's like, these kids don't know what fear is. I know what I'll do. I'll bring a gun to class and point it at them.
Oh, like, my God.
You're the worst teacher in the world, Jonathan Crane. It's good that you got fired. But yeah, that's the origin of the Scarecrow. And then he couldn't afford books anymore because he didn't have a job. So he started committing Scarecrow-themed crimes. It's not a really well thought out origin, but it's one of my favorites. All right, next up.
Number 24, The Expelled.
Oh.
So this was actually originally called F. It's a British film. I've seen it. It's good.
Okay. I have not seen this.
It's about a teacher who's in a school at night and he's being harassed, tormented, stalked, you know, pick your word for it, by a bunch of faceless killers.
Oh, cool.
So it's good.
When is this from?
2013.
Oh, okay. So it's not even that old. Yeah. You know what? Now I'm kind of curious about this because of your recommendation. So yeah, I will try to remember that one. F.
Or The Expelled.
The Expelled. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, number 23. The House on Sorority Row.
Oh, okay.
That's necessarily school themed.
No, that's just a general co-ed in danger themed film, which, you know, it's fine, but that's not really on point.
Like, these girls are enrolled at university, but. Yeah,
but, you know, that doesn't really make it school themed.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm trying to think. Oh, well, I mean, I guess if there's a bunch of scenes at the school, then maybe. I mean, I don't remember House on Sorority Row very well.
No, it's like set in and around the sorority house.
Oh, then that's probably not school themed. That'd be like saying Happy Death Day is school themed. I'm like, not really. I mean, yeah, it's set around a university and they all live on campus and the thing, but it's barely school at all.
Yeah.
All right. Next up.
Number 22, The Substitute.
Oh, I love The Substitute.
I don't know if I've seen this.
Oh, that's the, what do you call it? The wonderful, guy.
Danish movie.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, that is the movie I'm thinking of. And yeah, that was really good.
Wait, Danish sci-fi horror from the director of Night Watch.
Yeah.
He's Russian.
Oh, you're right. Although maybe he made this one in Denmark.
Well, I suppose.
He could have. I mean, it's like he doesn't have to only work in Russia.
No, that's
true.
He's
in America as well.
But that's just a weird thing to read.
No, yeah, that, I understand why you'd be puzzled by that. Okay, next up.
Number 21. Oh, a favorite of ours, Hell Knight.
Oh, Hell Knight's the best. And now I have to take back everything I just said about, you know, what makes what a school-themed film, because that is entirely about a Hell Knight initiation thing they do. And, like, none of it is set at the university. So everything I just said you can ignore, because I want to keep Hell Knight valid on this list.
Oh, God.
Because it's such a fun movie. Such a fun movie, though. All right, next up.
20, Death Bell.
I've never heard of Death Bell.
This is a Japanese movie.
That would be why.
So Saw meets I Know What You Did Last Summer meets The Ring and, oh, sorry, Korean, my mistake. This Korean hit about a group of top students in a high school who are gathered to take a special college preparatory class during a school break when they find themselves trapped by an unseen killer who kidnaps them one by one and forces the others to solve a puzzle in order to save the victim's life.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Wow.
Death Bell.
I feel like we should watch Death Bell at some point.
Yeah, I really agree with that.
Yeah.
That sounds like a lot of fun. All right. We might be looking into Death Bell, folks.
Okay. Number 19, The Awakening.
What's this?
I think we've seen this.
Oh, I'm going to be really embarrassed if we have.
A dramatic British period ghost story. A professional skeptic is hired to go to a boys' boarding school and debunk the
students. We have seen this movie. Yeah. Okay. Now that you get to that synopsis. Yeah. We saw that here on the review. We did a review of that here on the show. You can check out that episode. I have no idea where it is. In the hundreds, probably? Maybe the 200s?
No, it's like probably in the 300s.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't that long ago, and I have no excuse for having no memories of the details. But the second you say period piece, boys boarding school, ghost hunter, we definitely covered that movie.
Yeah. All right, number 18, The Faculty.
Aw, that's just a wonderful movie.
I need to see it again. It's been so long.
Oh, it's so much fun. And it holds up.
I don't know if I've seen it since 1998, so.
Oh, okay. Well, I have seen it again, and it's still super fun.
Yeah. Okay.
You're definitely going to enjoy it again.
All right, this is a weird one. Number 17, Suicide Club.
That's not school themed at all.
Well, they're high school kids. Girls kill themselves.
Yeah, but I don't think that's what the movie's really about.
No, it's not.
No, that's not what it's about at all.
No.
The fact that they're in high school is pretty much incidental to what the film's about.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Like, there's stuff that happens at school.
Yeah, but you know what?
It's not about school.
There's stuff that happens at school in the movie Transformers. No one is calling it a school-themed film. That's just a fact.
Number 16, Dorm.
I haven't seen Dorm.
All right, part ghost story, part coming-of-age drama. This Thai film is a heartfelt, touching tale of a young boy sent to a boarding school rumored to be haunted by ghosts. Doesn't sound like a horror movie.
No, not really. Sounds nice, though. I mean, when's it from?
2006.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, just something we totally missed out on.
Yeah. Again, because it doesn't sound like a horror movie.
Yeah, no, there's a good chance we wouldn't have noticed and even know we were supposed to watch that. All right, next.
Okay, we have seen this next one, number 15, The Final.
Wait, The Final. Is that the movie I hate more than any other movie?
No, I don't think so.
No, there was what was the one where it's, you know, all the kids go to a Halloween party or something and some horrible kids want to murder them all because they were bullied?
Oh, no, that's this. Yeah.
That is this. Okay, I hated that. That's the movie I hated more than any other movie the year it came out. I just despised that movie.
I was
so mad at every part of that movie. And
I remember watching it. I don't remember how I felt about it.
No, I'm not asking you to share my contempt for everyone involved in the production of The Final, but I despise that movie. Fun fact, it was one of the 8 films to die for that After Dark released in their initial attempt to become film distributors. And that is the same series of films that gave us the best film we ever discovered, Lake Mungo.
Fun fact, it was not the initial release of the After Dark Horror Fest. It's the fourth.
Oh, it was in the fourth. Okay. Sorry, I thought it was in the first release. Oh, that makes me super sad. But that is why we watched it, because there's a lot of bad movies we watched because Lake Mungo was so good.
That's true.
We gave them so many chances.
And we haven't seen them all. I'm sure there are other After Dark movies out there that
maybe is good. Like maybe are worth coming back to.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Next up. But yeah, The Final's the worst. It is a blight on humanity and should never have been made.
Wow.
I hate that movie.
Number 14, Ring of Curse.
Ooh. I like that title.
It says here, despite the generic title, this isn't just another Japanese ring retread with a long-haired female ghost killing people. No, the long-haired female villain, a morose teen outcast, is very much alive, and she's found a way to take revenge on the schoolmates who've wronged her by using her gift of writing.
Ooh. Did she find a book that lets her rebuild reality as she chooses? And
I thought you were going to go like in Death Note territory.
Oh, no, I went another way with it. I went a different way. Both are equally valid, I think.
It says here, Ring of Curse plays like a prequel to a Ring Grudge-like film.
Okay.
Detailing what would lead to a supernatural curse.
Oh, I get it. Neat.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's a cool idea.
All right, ooh, number 13, Jeepers Creepers 2.
Oh, right, because they're all in a school for the football thing. Team. Okay.
Ah, it doesn't count.
It's kind of stupid. Yeah, it's like, no, that really doesn't belong on this list.
Also, it's a terrible movie. Why is it number 13?
Yeah, it's like, in addition to not belonging on the list, it's just not a good movie, guys. You gotta get a little better than this. Try a bit harder. Anyway.
Okay, number 12. Hiruko the Goblin.
Those words mean nothing to me.
Okay, so this is the guy who made Tetsuo, the Iron Man. Cool. It says it channels Evil Dead and the Thing in the story of an archaeologist. I have read the synopsis before.
Oh.
An archaeologist who investigates a tomb discovered under a rural high school that turns out to be a monster spewing gateway to hell.
Wow.
I mean, it sounds awesome, but technically school theme because it's under a school.
Yeah, I think that's the idea. I think that's what they're getting at, which is fine. I mean,
yeah, okay, whatever.
I think we probably give them that one.
Yeah, okay. Number 11, I liked this movie, you did not, Dance of the Dead.
No, I did not.
I thought it was fun.
Or is it just bugged the hell out of me?
I don't know why.
I don't know. Maybe it was just, maybe I was just not in the mood for that movie that day, but it ticks me off so much.
I guess like me and Rubber, it's just wrong time.
Yeah. And you know, maybe I can give this one another shot the way you can give Rubber another shot.
All right. That sounds fair.
That does sound fair. All right. Next up.
Number 10, I feel like this should be much higher on this list. Battle Royale.
Oh God. Yeah. Like this should be top five. Yeah. Great movie. And again, actually about school.
Yes.
In a way that a bunch of these haven't been. Like Battle Royale, actually 100% about school. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the various cliques and the social dynamics and yes, the adults.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a ton of stuff actually about school in this one.
Yeah.
So yeah. Yeah, that's a really good thing to put on the list.
Number 9, Carrie.
Aww. Again, how is this not like number 1?
Well, it's we'll Carrie. Get there soon enough.
All right. Yeah, but Carrie's amazing. Come on. We all know Carrie's amazing.
Number 8, Suspiria. I never would have considered this.
Well, yeah, it's a ballet school.
It's a school, so. Yeah.
No, I get what they're going for there. I can see that.
Number 7, I don't know if I agree with this, but maybe it's because I don't remember it.
All right.
It's a tie between Let the Right One In and Let Me In.
Did they go to school at all?
They're school aged.
Yeah, they're school aged. I just don't remember any scenes in school. Well, I guess he's getting bullied by some toughs from school.
And I think she, like, kills the bullies, but...
Yeah, but is that, like, school related?
I don't know if it counts. I'm going to go with no.
Yeah, that one seems a little iffy to me. Good movie. Okay. Really good movies, both of them.
Yeah. Okay, number 6, Detention.
Oh, I wanted it to be top 5, but this is one of our favorite movies we've ever covered on the channel.
So
like one of the best horror comedies ever made. Like
a surprise. Like it came out of nowhere.
Nowhere. No. Like no one had heard of this film. Like it wasn't a big release at all. And it's so amazing because it's one of those projects where it's like every now and then you have an auteur who had been like working on an idea forever. And so often those movies turn out to be terrible because they have blinkers because they've been too close to it for too long. But this is a story of where it's like a guy just, what's that?
You mean to say blinders.
Are they not called blinkers on horses?
No, they're blinders.
Oh, okay. I was wrong. All right. Blinkers? Sorry about that. I thought they were called blinkers, as in blinkered worldview.
No, blinders. Cause they blind you. So you have to have
it. Sorry. It's a weird thing for me to get wrong, but here we are. The point is, you've been too far away, right? Like, sorry, you're too close to it, so you don't see that it's actually terrible. And that is how a movie like The Book of Henry can happen. But that kind of, like, crazy devotion to an insane idea is also how a movie like Detention happens. Because if you haven't seen it, we're not going to say any more about it. Because it
is.
You have no idea where that movie's going.
It's not that, I don't know if it's like the sort of the weird tunnel vision thing that happens with auteurs who spend too much time with their project. It's more that Detention's actually pretty complex.
Yes.
And this guy thought it through all the way through.
For so long.
From beginning to end.
Obviously worked on this project.
How to get to where he wanted to go.
It's amazing. Like, it really is an amazing thing. And I know, but I was just suggesting that that kind of obsession over a project can blind you to the fact that it's terrible. Whereas here, sometimes that, like, total devotion to making this one great project also turns out a masterpiece, and Detention is one of those masterpieces.
Yeah, but again, really, I think because amazing. Of the complexity of the story being told, and understanding that you need to be real clear on what's going on all
oh,
the
course.
Time.
No, you had to be a smart, and again, I'm not going to go into that movie at all, but it has one of my favorite jokes ever in a movie, which is every high school movie, right? Like, everyone who writes a high school movie has been out of high school for so long that they have no idea what people are being taught at the grade that they're writing about, generally. And so you always see, like, people in high school reading about fifth grade novels, like, and writing about them. And I'm like, that's not what high school's like. You've been away for it too long. But in this movie, the joke is, in all of their classes, it's all just quantum physics. Like, they're in high school, and they're just talking about building nuclear weapons and quantum physics, and it's just such an amazing joke. And it's a joke about movies about high school. And that is the only joke from the film I will mention. It's an incredible movie. Okay.
Okay, number five. I don't know how this is going to follow up on that rave review of Detention.
Oh no.
Ginger Snaps.
Oh, come on.
I like this movie. You seem to hate it for some reason.
I've always hated Ginger Snaps, and there's a very long conversation going into my thing about Ginger Snaps, but I've never liked this movie. I liked Ginger Snaps 3 quite a bit, actually. The one that's a remake of the first movie, but set in pioneer times. Like, I actually really like that movie, and I hated Ginger Snaps, and I hated Ginger Snaps 2, but that one I was actually very fond of. So.
I liked Ginger Snaps, but I don't think it counts as a high school movie.
Again, barely at all.
Just cause they're like high school aged. It's not,
it doesn't make it a high school movie.
Yeah. It's not really set in and around the high school. It's just teenage life.
Yeah. No. Ginger Snaps shouldn't be on there.
Yeah. Okay. Number four, Night of the Creeps.
Aww. Such, and now that is a college movie.
Yes.
It's about the college experience as much as anything else. And just an amazing horror comedy. Just such a great movie. Fred Dekker thumbs up. I'm so sorry the Predator was as bad as it was. But we still love you, Fred Dekker. We're not going to stop
loving you. We can blame Shane Black for that, as opposed to Fred
Dekker.
That's
what we're going to do. That's totally what we're going to do.
Number three, Diabolique.
Oh, right. Of course, he's a headmaster of a school. Yeah, that's a really good movie. Yeah.
Number two, Scream.
Oh, of course, Scream. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really interested to see what number one is now.
Well, prepare to be disappointed.
Oh no.
Number one is Black Christmas.
No. What is wrong with you?
Set in a sorority house, but has
but
nothing
not
to do.
Not school at all. Again, University Halloween has more to do with high school than Black Christmas has to do with university.
Yeah.
Wow, that is a really bad addition to this list. Right? Terrible.
You couldn't find another high school movie. This list is from 20.
There's so many other high school movies. You know how many movies are about teenagers getting killed in high school? Sometimes in the actual high school?
I mean, we're locked into high school. This is just back to school. But you necessarily think high school.
Oh yeah, but it could have been college as well, absolutely.
Return to Horror High. Jesus Christ, it's right there in the title.
I know, like, hi, the exact thing we're making our list about, there's a movie with that title? Sold. Okay. Well, that's just disappointing. Not a good way to end your list, guys.
Yeah.
Although I don't know what I was expecting. You had a bunch of dumb entries on there already, so
yeah.
It's kind of my fault for expecting something better. That is a lot of horror movies, though. It seems like we might have enough horror movies. Do you think they're gonna keep making them more?
Well, you know what? I had a look, and it turns out they are.
Ooh.
Which means this week's upcoming horror movie is called Crawl.
Okay. Great title, obviously.
A young woman, while
Diana
attempting
Crawl.
To save... Hey, shut up. A young woman, while attempting to save her father during a Category 5 hurricane, finds herself trapped in a flooding house and must fight for her life against alligators.
What? Is this in Louisiana? Please tell me this is set in Louisiana.
Say.
Or Mississippi, but that's fantastic. Oh my god, I'm so on board for this.
Do you want me to tell you who wrote and directed? And directed?
Of course.
Alexander Aya.
What? No, I hate him. God damn it. Oh, so many emotions.
Why do you hate him? Hills Have Eyes remake is great.
Yes, I know the Hills Have Eyes remake is great. We've talked at length about how it's the only thing good he's ever done in his useless career. And yeah, I'm including Piranha 3D, which other people like more than I do. I just really hate that guy, and he made a perfect movie. Well, a mostly perfect movie in the Hills Have Eyes remake. But I still hate that guy for the rest of his career. He made Mirrors, for God's sake. Mirrors.
I haven't seen that.
Don't! Okay, but you know what? I don't care that I hate Alexander Aya. I love that premise, and I will be happy to watch that movie. That sounds amazing. Alright. We did actually watch movies this week, so let's get into this.
Yeah, so... I had that school movie horror list because our first movie tonight is Down a Dark Hall.
Ooh.
Delinquent teen Kit is packed off to an exclusive school for troubled girls where she learns to play the piano real good. Also, there's something weird going on with her and the other girls, and Kit's determined to find out what's up.
Yay. So yep, that is a 100% accurate description of what this movie is about, but it's so much more.
Did you feel like there was something missing from the story?
Not particularly. What did you think was left out?
Well, because there's that creepy-looking dude.
Yeah.
I never really
find out what was going on with him. Yeah, I did. I was wondering who that guy was, but I just assumed it had something to do with the demonic forces they'd summoned.
Well, he's just one of the ghosts in the place. Yeah. He just turned to shine.
It is weird that we never really find out what was going on with him, you know, as opposed, because we find out what's going on with a bunch of the other ghosts. But you're right. He's a really notably creepy looking dude, and he draws a lot of focus. So it's kind of strange that we never get to hear what his story is.
Well, I can't tell you what his story is, but I can tell you why he's there.
Ooh, why is he there?
This is based on a book by Lois Duncan, who writes YA horror fiction.
Oh, okay.
And so I guarantee you he's a bigger factor in the book.
In the book, of course. That makes perfect sense.
He clearly wants his turn to channel through these girls.
Yeah.
And he's probably some kind of like horrible killer or something like that.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me at all. By the way, you've just spoiled the entire plot of the movie.
Eh.
No, because, I mean, okay, it is, you do figure it out right away. It's not like the film is a big mystery. But at least it's a pretty original premise. I hadn't seen this movie before.
No, me neither. And while I felt like it was a little flat.
A little.
I don't think it does a great job fully explaining what's really, I mean, you can figure it out because, you know, it's not that complicated.
No, it's not that complicated. And there are like two scenes where they just tell you what's happening.
It's not, I don't know. There are other explanations in other films that are just more satisfying for some reason. This one just didn't quite hit the mark. But I mean, it's a really fun idea. I don't know if it's like that well executed. The book might be a bit more interesting. And there is a YA horror podcast I listen to where they read all of this stuff.
Oh,
so cool. I'm hoping they get around
cover this book so you can, to save you from having to read it yourself. Mental note, this is what you get her for Christmas. But anyway, note that one down for later. I was not familiar with the book. I did see at the end that it was Lois Duncan. I'm like, oh, Lois Duncan, creator of I Know What You Did Last Summer and, you know, writer of tragic true life crime books. That's all.
Well, the one because her daughter
was murdered. The one because her daughter was murdered. Yeah. But it's an amazing story. But, yeah, no, she's a fascinating lady, and I'm kind of interested that this was based on one of her books, because, of course, you wonder how much they departed, because most of her books have been completely rewritten when they've come to screen. But this is such a comparatively sedate movie that I'm like, I wonder how much they actually rewrote it, because it's pretty much just a classy, there's not a lot of bonus scares added on or anything like that. Yeah. Like, it's relatively straightforward. Like, yeah. There's this monstrous thing happening. The girls are troubled kids. They're sent to this school, and we think they're just, you know, being... And, of course, as you said, they develop artistic abilities. But the interesting thing is, at first you're like, oh, were they selected because they have artistic abilities? No, they have all been selected because they are all psychically sensitive.
Yes.
And that's an interesting idea.
It is.
Yeah, like, that's a cool premise, and I really liked the way that gradually gets you there, because you don't... The first thing we learn, right, is that she had a psychic experience with her dead dad.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we don't understand the significance of that right away, obviously, but it's pretty clear what's going on. And from then on, they actually wait quite a while, and I thought this was well handled, before they reveal what all of the girls have in common.
Yes.
Yeah, like, you don't immediately start hearing about everybody else's traumatic stories, but then we eventually figure out that, oh, they all have had this same experience, and that's why they were selected. So yeah. I really like the way that was handled, too.
I felt like there's, like, Kit is the main character, so the entire film is her experience at the school.
Yeah.
Which is fine, but at the same time, it sidelined the other girls and their experiences.
Which, way too far.
Yeah. And I felt like you could have, cause if the movie's kind of going for a bit of a slow burn here, and you really could have used, or the film could have used that to its advantage to sort of like, yeah, like Kit knows there's something weird going on, but these, for whatever, for some reason, these other girls aren't nearly as self-aware as she is.
Yeah, they're not clued into the situation.
And I think it's a bit of a problem for the movie. Because she has a conversation with the girl who's really good at math, and she's like, it feels really nice to be good at something for once in my life. And I'm like, that's a really poignant thing to say.
Yep.
And like, there's a lot that you can do with that. And the film just doesn't go there.
That's true.
And instead, it's just a lot of focus on like, don't go through that door. That part of the building's off limits. It's like, well, I wonder why.
Yeah, I know, right? But yeah, like, there's actually a very interesting in-depth thing the film could have done where maybe a character is okay with what's happening to them because have they followed that plot point you mentioned? Yeah, like, what if this is better than whatever her life had to offer? What if being the conduit for a mathematical genius or a brilliant painter is better than what you ever thought was possible for your life?
Yeah.
And as they point out, it's not like, and that's never really gotten into, which is too bad, because they actually point out within the film that it's like, it's not like everybody dies from doing this. Like, it is a well-known fact about this school, as established when they're talking about sending them there, that like, they have trained... Famous artists have come out of this school.
Mm-hmm.
So weirdly, even though we see the worst example of what this school can do, we do hear backstories about the times when they had actually managed to create, how do I put this, stable connections? Is that the best way to describe it? Because there's never an intimation that this is going to be a full-time possession.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, no one is, this is not a situation where it's like, oh, the artists are gonna steal their bodies and just take over their lives. That's never suggested. It just seems to be suggesting that there will be a 100% stable connection with that person that allows you to live this improved life as a famous artist, ballerina, a painter, a mathematician, whatever.
Yeah.
So that is an interesting idea, and that, you're right, the film could have used a little more exploration of that part of its premise.
Yeah.
And I would have really liked that. It's too bad.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, it's got good stuff going for it. And
got lots of creepy cinematography, I want to say.
It does. And, you know, Kit channels, a famous composer, so the music's pretty good.
I really liked the montage of all of them being good at their thing.
Yeah.
I thought that was a very well done scene. Like seeing them all excelling, except for the one girl who I don't know why she's here, except to help out, help Kit out.
I know, I wish, like...
Couldn't she have had something?
Something? Yeah, exactly.
Have, like, yeah, it's like she's such a...
That she could resist.
So out of place with... Exactly, why can't she be fighting against?
Yeah.
And when her friend is tempted, why can't she be the one who says, okay, I'm tempted by so-and-so too, but you've got to resist it. You know, it's better to be yourself.
But that girl's just there to be a bitch, honestly.
It's pretty
frustrating. So it's a bit of a waste of a character.
No, I agree with that.
Yeah.
It was kind of annoying, especially because she is important right at the end, like in,
and it's not explained why, like what's going on with her at the end of the movie. It's like,
yeah.
Why isn't she dead? She should be dead.
You'd think.
That's the only thing that makes sense.
Yeah, and I don't know why they needed, and I didn't really get a clear understanding of why they needed her to be possessed by demons?
No, it's never explained. The only reason that she's alive is so that she can help Kit survive the movie.
Yeah, because within the narrative, it's like, it seems like they're going to kill her off, and then it's like, no, we just used her to be the host for this demon that we need for the work we do, and I'm like, you're summoning demons as well?
What are you talking about?
What is happening here? And then, all credit to the makeup and the production people, the way they go with the demon is, like, full-on Evil Dead 2 demon style. And I thought their choice to go full-on Evil Dead demons made me very happy. So I did like the look of her as a demon, even if it was completely out of nowhere, and I had no idea why it was happening. I did enjoy the artistic choice to, you know, visually reference Evil Dead 2. An amazing movie. So there you go. All right. So that was Down a Dark Hall?
Yes.
Okay. Yay. I remember the title for once. What is next?
Our second movie this evening was chosen based solely on its title.
Which gets us into trouble so frequently.
Well, okay. So I told you about this movie. You got really excited. I said don't because... I have developed a sixth sense about this stuff. I don't know why you haven't.
I know. So, because every now and then, and I'm about to say something that is, I say every now and then, but it's only ever happened once. But once, my willingness to watch anything with a crazy title meant we saw Edison Death Machine. And it's only ever happened once, but we did get to see Edison Death Machine.
Yeah, and but it's anyway. Never going to happen again. No, we watched... Not. House of VHS.
Oh my god.
And it was awful.
It was not even a movie. Like, I was not exaggerating at the start of the show. To call it a movie is being far too charitable.
Yeah. Okay. Like,
this movie is 80... Oh right, you still haven't synopsized it.
I'm so sorry. Garbage. A group of friends spend a week at the worst vacation home ever. Their boredom is alleviated when one of them finds a magical VCR. And then the movie ends.
Oh my god, they make us wait so long for that magical VCR.
This is a short film.
Yeah.
Stretched out to 80 minutes.
Yeah, and when she says stretched, she means stretched.
Nothing.
It's bad.
For 70 minutes.
For the majority of this film, absolutely nothing happens.
Yeah.
It's inexplicably slow.
And then there's a bunch of clips from public domain theater. And then, and then the movie ends. Like, honestly, it just.
Well, you know, the funny part is while I was watching it, my only reaction was, I didn't know Carnival of Souls was public domain.
That was Carnival of Souls. Okay. Cause
that was Carnival of Souls.
And I'm like, why? Yeah. I had the same reaction.
I had no idea it was public domain.
I must be wrong. Cause Carnival of Souls can't be public domain, but.
Apparently it is.
That's because it's in this movie.
Yeah. Oh, God. It is. So the thing is, here's the one bit of enjoyment I got out of this film, right? So I guess we should explain how the tape is magic.
There's
a magical VCR, which we didn't explain at all. So they find a VCR in this old house. By the way, the rationale for going to this old house is one of the guys is like, I grew up near this area, and I always found it weird that there was an empty house here. So let's break into it for our vacation. Like, you are the worst at planning parties.
No, but then the other part is like, it seems like this has all been planned because It's like, yeah, you know, the whole point of this week is just disconnect, you know, get off the grid. I'm like, they go camping.
Don't squat in a monster house. You know, camping, there are facilities. You can still take a shower. You're going to get access to clean water.
You're right.
More importantly, there's stuff to do because you can just go out in a canoe, do something. Don't just sit in an abandoned house.
Yeah.
That's terrible. But the best part is, so they go in, there's a VCR, they plug it in, and they realize there's like 20 movies there or something. But then the next morning, they find out that there's a new tape in there, and the tape is a combination of two of the movies they watched. And They realize that the VHS tapes are breeding. And so this led to the only fun moment in the movie for me, which is them saying, what if we did a Christmas movie and an alien movie? And I'm like, they're about to turn on Santa Claus versus the Martians.
Sure did. They milked that.
Because I know for a fact that movie is copyright cleared. And they show a lot of clips from Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
Yeah, they do.
Which is not, you know, not a particularly worthwhile film, but I'd be lying if I said we didn't have a good time when we were watching it. Because we absolutely did. But it's not a good movie. But yeah, like nothing happens in this movie. And so when I just said they find out that the tapes breed, that's 50 minutes into an 80-minute movie.
Yeah.
And it is not exaggerating to say that nothing has happened in the story up until this point.
Yeah.
Nothing. Like it is literally just characters sitting around having, as you pointed out, the worst vacation ever.
Yeah, and it's not even like they're entertaining people to hang out with.
No, they're all terrible. They're all just terrible.
Well, they're boring. They're not terrible. They're just boring people. They're boring people.
Yeah, like none of them seem to have anything going on. They don't have any interests. They don't care about anything. Like, it's like, I know some of them are couples, but it's basically impossible to tell based on how they interact with each other.
No, they're not. They're just like, some of them are interested.
That's true, yes.
But nobody arrives as a couple. A couple of them hook up. And then there's the most awkward scene ever where two of them are sitting outside on a stone wall. And she's like, I just want you to hold me. And he like just kind of like awkwardly puts his arm around her shoulder.
No! Like, what?
She doesn't have cooties.
It's fine.
Hold her close. It's just pretend.
I know. Oh.
Like, that was legitimately funny because it was so bad. Planned bad. It's just because the guy was just so uncomfortable putting his arm around her.
I know.
That I'll never understand. Anyway, but there's this one character. So all of these characters don't have names, but they have nationalities. So there's like the British one and the Italian one and the Belgian one, who I thought switched roles at one point. Unless I'm just misremembering.
I don't think so.
Initially I thought the Italian one had said that she was Belgian. But.
I don't think so, but I could be wrong.
It doesn't matter. There's the guy who's supposed to be American.
I know.
And he can't do an American accent.
Oh, I felt so sorry for his attempts.
Americans don't dress like that.
Well, no, of course not.
And then they're like, well, and then they try to explain away his poor attempt at an American accent by saying, well, aren't you Icelandic? He's like, well, I'm like half Icelandic, or I live in the States. And he really is Icelandic. Like that's the
accent. Ah, okay. That explains so much.
So it's like, just, why does he have to be American? He can just be Icelandic.
Yeah, like, oh, but people aren't going to watch our movie if there's not an American in it. I'm like, that's not why people aren't going to watch your movie. People aren't going to watch your movie, but they have good reasons to not watch your movie.
So, but the British character, as soon as she gets to the house, she's like, this is shit. I want to go home. And the guy with the car, he's like, well, I ain't driving you anywhere. I'm here for the duration. And one guy got there on a motorcycle. He's like, well, I can take you to the train station on my bike. And she's like, I don't ride motorcycles. I'm like, well, then I guess you're stuck with the bitch.
You've just chosen to hang out with these terrible people because you're too good to get on a motorcycle.
Right.
Bravo. You've really won the audience's sympathy.
She keeps leaving to go to the store.
I know.
So she's not even involved
in most of the plot.
At all.
No. And then, rather abruptly, everybody kills each other.
Well, so what happens, of course, is that eventually they get sucked into, like, the world of the magical VHS tapes.
Yeah. And by the way, it's not like this is an easy curse to fall victim to. You have to go through a lot of steps to get cursed by this. Like, you have to actively try to get cursed by this thing. it sounds like I'm exaggerating. I'm not. Like, they have to find a video camera and tape him and then play it, like, play the, and then put that in a VHS and then play that in the thing to get the video of him to breed with one of the other videos and put him into the film world. And I'm like...
That's not even one. No, they videotape the guy as a joke in the bathroom.
Yes.
And then they play that tape in the magical VCR.
And it teleports him into the world.
And he ends up in the television. Yes. So it's not even like the breeding has to take place.
Well, no, but they were saying that was their plan is what I was getting at.
But, like, you don't even need to go that far. You just, because apparently it's also a magical video camera.
That's true. Yes.
So, and then he ends up in, like, a slasher movie and nobody cares.
No, he gets killed.
But then somehow everybody ends up inside of a magical VCR world because they weren't all taped with the camera.
No, they weren't.
They just somehow sucked into the world. One of them gets eaten by the VCR somehow.
I know.
And the other guy just kills everybody. It's like...
Yep. I don't know why any of this is happening. I don't know what's going on. Then the British chick just leaves.
Yep.
To get us back to the start of the movie, where she was on her blog complaining about her awful horror vacation.
Yes.
Like, seriously? This is how your movie's ending?
So like I said, would have been a hilarious short film about a VCR that eats people.
Oh yeah, totally.
Ended up being
a feature film.
Terrible feature film about shit people on a shit holiday.
Like just a terrible holiday that no one would want to be a part of. Like totally. Oh, all right. So yeah, that was House of VHS. It did not live up to its title.
I told you not to get excited.
And I shouldn't have. I agree. Like, I agree I was wrong to get excited about this. Like, I'm not arguing with you, but I will admit, disappointed. With a title like House of VHS, you thought you were going to get something amazing. You thought you were going to get something legendary, but
something like that, you expect, first of all, it sounds like an anthology.
It does, yeah.
Because set of inside the a VHS video store.
Oh my god, yes, the one video store left in America. Yes. And the place is called House of VHS.
Yeah, okay.
And they can't get, what do you call it, legitimate movies anymore, because VHS isn't a thing, so they have all of these weird, strange movies.
Like video nasties. And
yeah, like weird video nasties. And, yeah.
And that's the anthology.
That's a great anthology.
Work in a magical VHS tape or something, or like, what is it? It's not, what's that one? The last horror movie. Yeah. Yes. Where you like, you end up renting a snuff film by mistake.
Yeah. That's a fun premise.
So it's like, this shit writes itself. Why did we watch?
I know.
I don't understand how we ended up with what we've got when.
It is weird. It's not that complicated to make a much better version of this. Yeah,
exactly. Add that one to the list. There are our ever-growing list of movies we have to write.
We have pitched on this. Well, it's our second one today.
Oh.
What was the first one? Oh, right. The lady who is a real estate agent who solves murders. Because every house she tries to sell...
Body inside.
Has a body inside. Well, the weird part is, it actually doesn't have to be that stupid, because if you think about it logically, like, a good way to get new listings for your real estate business is when somebody has died. So it's like, she can just get embroiled in the murders because she's trying to sell the houses of people who've died. And it's like, this person died. They fell down the stairs. And then she's like, I just found evidence that it was actually a murder. I better call that cop I keep flirting with.
Right, who suspects I may in fact be the murderer because
this keeps happening. Yeah, exactly. Like, again, it kind of writes itself. So I'll just phone up an agent and I'll be like, here's what I want you to pitch to the W Network.
Hello, Oxygen. Have I got an idea for you?
Have we got a new sound for, you know that new sound you've been looking for? Yes. Here it is. What was the title? Two baths, one body.
Three bedrooms, one corpse.
Three bedrooms, one corpse.
Two baths, one body.
You know what? It's basically the same title. I stand by two baths, one body. Just for the record, I stand by that. I don't apologize for that at all. Okay. So yeah, House of VHS and two baths, one body. That is the result of this week's episode.
So not a total
also
loss.
Probably the title. Also we're, probably the title of this episode.
We're ahead of the game.
Oh my god. Alright. So do we have any narcissism we would like to watch?
Just new eps of True North Crime and Chicks and Dips are coming your way. I think that's all I have to plug at the moment.
Okay. As you know, constant flood of new content over at Hidden Object Guru channel. Drop by the Castle Vargelon for all of your Criminal Minds needs. And in addition to that, the Profiling Criminal Minds podcast is going gangbusters. And that it is now officially part of the Kinks Podcast Network.
Yes.
I thought you'd be more on board for that, but apparently I was wrong.
Well, you still need to send me something you haven't.
Oh, no, I'm sending you the RSS today or tomorrow. Like, I'm just saying, I got your, we now have audio at the back of the thing explaining that it is part of the Kinks Podcast Network. So we are ready to go, science-wise. But yeah, so check all of those out. And that means you're going to be able to find pretty soon, Profiling Criminal Minds over on iTunes as well. So we're living the dream, everybody. Living the dream. Next week, join us back here with special guest Rob Rector to talk Captain Marvel.
Yes, I think this is the first time ever we've previewed an upcoming show.
No, we previewed a bunch of them whenever there was a giant movie coming out. Like when Star Wars was coming back, we did a whole show about memories of Star Wars, and then we said, next week, we're all going to be here for the new Star Wars movie.
Oh, yeah, maybe I just didn't remember.
It doesn't happen much, but it basically only happens when we're going to be watching a giant Marvel movie.
Yeah.
But it does not, or, well, really a Disney movie. But you're right that it does not happen much.
No. Well, mind you, Us comes out in a couple of weeks. So I think we're definitely going to go see that. We've got Godzilla coming up at some point.
The point is, the spring is going to be full of us actually going to the theater in a way we didn't at all over the winter. Sorry, Aquaman.
We missed.
Sorry.
Hey, I saw Aquaman. It was great.
I know. I just still haven't. Oh, no. Everyone said it was great. I just didn't get around to seeing it, so we didn't do a show about it. All right. So, but we'll be back here for that. But yeah, there's going to be a bunch of new checking out movies in theaters for us in the near future. So that should be pretty wild. Is there any other way to get in touch with us?
Yeah, you can visit the AVODs blog at theavod.com. You can leave us a comment there. Tell us about what exciting movies you're looking forward to in the spring.
It's the spring!
You can send us
a ton of movies.
An email at theavod@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. If you like what you hear, you can leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, and it helps other horror and genre lovers find us.
Yay. And so please do all those things. We'll see you back here for more, but until then. Wait. I'm so sorry. That is the wrong sign off. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. So until next time, I've been Count Vargelon.
I've been DM.
Thanks for watching and have yourselves a great evening.
Good night.
Oh, that was embarrassing. That's so embarrassing. It's bad.